When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Astros Baseball Podcast. Joining me, I am Stadium Steffi, as always, and joining me today, we have Jeff Balke, who is going to be kind of doing a little recap of the Astros versus Rangers series with me today. Jeff, how has your weekend been?
There's been ups and downs, just like the Astros. How about you?
It was a really fun weekend. Got to go to a wedding for some friends that I met off of Twitter because of the Astros. Was a really cool time getting to celebrate my friends Cassie and Kevin, which was amazing. So
awesome.
So unfortunately I did not watch a lot of baseball at all yesterday, but got to watch Friday, kind of kept up with it today. So it has been quite the series. And we're going to just get right into it. Nice. So Astros versus Rangers series recap Friday night, first game of the series against Arlington, obviously huge game for the Rangers, winning it 10-2. Some of the things that I saw that I thought were kind of interesting, a lot of two out magic for the Rangers. Mm-hmm. It felt like just about every run they got in was with those two outs, and it was just kind of crazy, but they also were very good at getting those big hits to really put the game away. What were your thoughts on some of that Friday action?
I mean, the Rangers, look, they are a high-powered offensive team. It's just kind of who they are. And so you're going to get into some games like this where, you know, these guys are just going to hit around on you. You know, obviously, Hunter Brown did not have the outing that he wanted to have in his second start of the season. The guy that I'm honestly starting to get a little concerned about, though, is Brandon Bielak. Brandon Bielak is a guy who he's out of options. You can't send him down to the minors. He's a guy that I think there was some thought that he might be the fifth starter with JV out. Instead, it's been Ronald Blanco, which has obviously worked out pretty well. but, you know, when you look at Bielak, he's a guy that sort of muddled around in the Astros system for a while. He's not really a starter. He hasn't been great in relief. And, you know, you can sort of look at Hunter Brown and say, okay, bad outing. He had a few tough luck, balls hit on him. But Bielak's been getting hit around, and there are certain guys on this roster, and I've talked about it with you guys before. I've talked it about on my Believe in Astros podcast, that there are a few guys on this team, you know, Taylor Scott, Brandon Bielak, John Singleton, they're out of options, and the Astros don't really have much they can do with them. And I think that's a problem because you do have to play them. It's a similar situation we saw with Rafael Montero last year. He was terrible, but they just couldn't keep him out of the games. You got to throw him at some point. And so I just worry that Brandon Bielak is one of those guys who just doesn't really belong here, but they're afraid to put him on waivers because they're afraid he might get claimed.
Yeah, I agree. He's definitely the one that I'm more concerned about than I think just about anyone in those relief spots.
Yeah.
He just, you know, he has been having a rough start, and hopefully that turns around. Hopefully he can kind of get it together and it will hopefully serve the Astros well. But I mean, if nothing else, we are soon going to have a whole lot of trouble with a whole lot of pitchers coming back from injuries. And so it's kind of something to consider too. Do you just keep them around for the meanwhile until maybe we can kind of move some of these guys from that starter role back into the bullpen? So
there's Dana Brown's going to have his hands full.
100%.
You know, Justin Verlander's going to come back. You're going to see Jose Urquidy back probably in a month or so. Mm-hmm. And then you have to start thinking now, we haven't gotten this yet, but I know we will, but is Ronald Blanco now a starter? You have to start thinking that, like, does that mean that JP France or Hunter Brown goes into the bullpen, or do you send JP France back down because he still has options left? I mean, it's going to be, Dana Brown is going to have a lot on his plate. I said early in the season, And I think this still in spring training, I think this holds true. I think at some point the surplus of starting pitching, as good as it is, could potentially lead them to make a trade. Move someone that allows them to pick up more middle relief, or hey, maybe a first baseman. I don't know, whatever the deal is. I think that might become an issue, especially when you get further into, say, July, and you start looking at, well, Luis Garcia might be coming back at that point, or even Lance McCullers. So, you know, you could have nine guys on your roster who really are built as starting pitchers and who can't really go to the minors. So it's going to be complicated. I think Hunter Brown will be okay. But yeah, Brandon Bielak's the guy I worry about more than anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And then moving into Saturday's game. Mm-hmm. Saturday's game, obviously Rangers win that one 7-2. I mean, one of the biggest things is we just keep leaving guys on base.
Yes.
We're not getting the hits when we need them. We're not bringing guys in. And that's been a huge struggle recently. I mean, we saw it last year too, where we would have guys bases loaded and automatically you're like, okay, well, this isn't going anywhere because you're just kind of expecting that they're not going to get that guy in. And I feel like we saw that yesterday quite a bit too.
Yeah. I do think we've seen a lot of left on base. I think what's been really sort of perplexing for the Astros is that they have struggled. Look, most of us who've watched Astros baseball for a while know that Alex Bregman typically doesn't actually get started until May. And so it's not too big of a shock that he has struggled a bit early in this season. Although I think everybody thought maybe he'll start faster. He's a free agent. He had a good spring. But I think when you look at the number of guys in the lineup, and this happens in sports sometimes where you just get a bunch of guys who are struggling all at the same time. And it's weird. It's abnormal, you know, especially with a lineup like this. And, you know, we saw Jordan like tonight, obviously get a home run. He was actually pretty good last night. I mean, he was 2-for-4 with a walk. I just think that the guys who are in position to get guys in, they have to do a better job of dealing with, you know, getting run. Last year, they were not great. In terms of runners in scoring position, they were, I think, about middle of the pack at different points in the season. Some points much better, but not the Astros we'd seen at different, you know, at points prior to that. That's something that they're just going to have to do better. They're going to have to do better with runners in scoring position. But also, you can't, Ryan Pressly can't give up 4 runs. You know, you can't. I mean, Ryan Pressly has had obviously tonight, he was good and had a clean inning, but one of the guys you're expecting to be your 7th, 8th, and 9th guys cannot give up 4 runs. It just can't happen.
Yeah, that was definitely a huge kind of bummer moment, to say the least. And I wondered too if part of with Pressly is, you know, that change in not being in that closer role. You know, I wonder, you know, mentally, does that do something to you where maybe now it's a little bit more of a struggle because you don't have that pressure that you're used to having? And maybe that helps, you know? It's just kind of something to think about.
It's an interesting question. It's kind of like how people have wondered if Jordan should still be in the 2 spot in the lineup. I mean, baseball players are creatures of habit. There's no doubt about it. They like to sort of keep things the status quo. I think it helps them. I would say this about Ryan Pressly. Look, Ryan Pressly, I know he likes being a closer, but he knew this was coming. And it's not like he's coming. And by the way, it's not like last night he came in a low leverage situation. I mean, regardless of whether it's the 8th or the 9th, it's a high leverage situation. It's a 1-run game at that point, or 2-run game at that point. And you just, you know, I think he's a high leverage pitcher. Whether he's the last pitcher that comes out or the second to last or third to last, that's his thing, you know. And I think the thing, same thing with Jordan Alvarez. I think the like putting him at the number 2, that's been kind of an overblown narrative. I think Jordan is going to hit no matter where you put him. And quite frankly, you want him to get as many bats as possible. He's one of the most dangerous hitters in Major League Baseball.
Absolutely.
You don't really want to save him for like 4 or 5. So I think all of these things will start to work themselves out. As fans, obviously, we are impatient. That is our nature. But in terms of you know, the baseball season, it's a, you know, they keep saying it's a long season. It really is. I mean, it's 162 games. I mean, there are so many games that get played, and these things tend to level themselves out over time. Obviously, nobody wants to start, you know, 2-5. But the reality is that over time, that's, I think those things are going to balance themselves out. And look, it's not like the Astros have opened up this year against the, like the little sisters of the poor.
Exactly.
They played the Yankees, Blue Jays, and Rangers. Absolutely. I mean, these are all three going to be playoff contending teams.
Yeah. And I think that's something too, is, you know, to start out with some of the toughest teams, you yep. know, in our this season, it's not. Yeah, exactly. And so it's definitely going to be interesting to see what they can do next weekend against the Rangers at home. And that's another thing. We got to start getting the home wins. We do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the lack of winning at home has just been outrageous and kind of crazy to me. And I know they blamed it on the batter's eye at one point, and it's like, but you won the World Series with that same batter's eye, so why is it now a problem?
It's,
you know,
it's, look, it's been a problem for the Astros for a long yeah. time. Look, in 2017, when they were banging on trash cans, they still had a better record on the road than they did at home.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a team that has just not played well in Minute Maid Park, and and it really is confounding when you consider that it's been different players. It's not as if they've had exactly yeah. the same lineup the whole time.
True.
And it's not as if other teams have come in here and played poorly. So it's something that would be interesting. I don't, some stat nerd out there probably needs to go dig into all the games and figure out like what the run differential is and figure out how other teams have done. Cause it's very yeah. confusing for sure. Especially since it's been going on for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years now.
Yeah, it's been a while, which is definitely crazy. And then today's game, Astros finally squeezed out a win. Yeah. Oh my goodness, Ronel Blanco has been masterful this season. I saw a tweet by, I think it was Sarah Langs, talking about Blanco's 44 outs before his first hit allowed most by a pitcher to begin a season in at least the expansion era.
Yeah.
Insane. And to think Josh Hader is in the record books as number two, you know.
It's remarkable. The star back there behind me on this side is a Sarah Lang star. She's a incredible stat person who has ALS and who's been very vocal about her struggles with that. You know, the stats on the thing about Ronel Blanco that is remarkable to me, if you count spring training, he has not given up a run yet at all in this entire season. This is a guy who had, prior to his first game, the no-hitter, he'd only thrown in 8 games total, right, as a major league starter.
That's crazy.
And also, by the way, Blanco was not a guy who was particularly great in relief the last few years. He came up and he surged with some promise. He's a little bit older. He came in from the Dominican Republic when he was 22, and a lot of guys are coming in when they're 16, 17.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he comes in and all of a sudden this year, he turned it around. And really what's done it has been that changeup. That has been
absolutely
the complete and utter change for him. Not, no pun intended, is that he had a decent fastball. He had okay breaking pitches, not great breaking pitches, just okay breaking pitches. But this, the changeup is a complete game changer for him because it gives him this. He always had the ability to move the ball left and right, up and down. But when you can't do a change of speed, it's going to be a problem for you as a pitcher, especially a guy like him who is reliant on, because he doesn't have, you know, he's not a super hard thrower. He's reliant on accuracy, right? Well, with a changeup, that gives you that little bit of extra. So instead of throwing a 93-mile-an-hour fastball up and in, you're throwing an 85-mile-an-hour changeup down and away, and it looks exactly the same coming out of your hand. It's just it's been remarkable from him. I just now start thinking, is Ronel Blanco now your starter? I mean, you just have to make him a starter. And then the question becomes is when Verlander comes back, who goes down? I mean, I guess they go with 6 for a while, but my goodness, it's a great problem to have.
100%. I mean, you sit there and you think about this guy who, again, you know, who thought that Ronel Blanco was going to be the first no-hitter of the 2024 season? Surely wasn't me. I definitely hoped he'd be good. I hoped he'd be a little bit better than, you know, years past. But man, he has just really come out the gate and has kind of solidified his place, yeah. I think.
I had just hoped he was going to be a solid middle reliever. I was hoping that – I really hoped that what he could be was the Hector Neris of last year.
Absolutely.
A guy who could come in, be that fifth, sixth inning guy, maybe seventh when you in a pinch. And he's a kind of a change of pace thrower from the other guys. You know, you've guys mm-hmm. that come in there like Brian Abreu and others who are hard throwers, and Ryan Pressly is a pretty hard thrower. And then certainly Josh Hader. He's a change of pace guy. He's not a guy that throws 96, 97 miles an hour. And so he's kind of like the Phil Maton of last year in that sort of role, but I'm not sure you can put him in that role now. I think now you basically have to start him because he's just been too damn good.
He has been incredible. And it looks like we do have a comment, and it is from my friend Melanie, who said, hi, Steffi. So hello, Melanie. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you. And also, folks, don't forget that you can send in comments, questions, anything that you've got, and we may be putting it on air during the show. So please feel free to throw those comments in the chat box. So, okay, we have now our Ram Shirts Player of the Series so far, since we do have another game tomorrow.
Right.
But one thing I will say, we will give our Players of the Series, but if you want the chance to win a shirt from Ram Shirts, please send an email to astrosbaseballpodcast.com telling us your Player of the Series so far. We'll do this every single episode, so make sure you're sending in your votes. And at the end of the month, we will pick a winner to win a shirt from Ram Shirt. So I will let you roll with it first, Jeff.
I mean, right now it has to be Ronel Blanco. I mean, there's just no other. The Astros are coming into this game. You can't say that I wanted, again, it's a long season, but they were struggling coming into this game. And you get a big home run from Yordan Alvarez, which was excellent. But you really need it, especially against this Rangers team that is so good offensively. You needed someone to come in and slow things down. You needed someone to come in and give the Astros an opportunity to even just put a few runs on the board like they did and just hold on to a game. And Blanco, after throwing 105 pitches, look, Joe Espada kind of hinted before the game that he might be on a pitch count. Right?
Yeah.
Blanco never thrown more than six innings prior to that no-hitter. So do you burn him out early in the season, you know, is one of the concerns they're going to have. Well, he went out there and threw 90, you know, tonight and was just so good. So I think that it can't really be overstated how important it is when you are struggling to have somebody come in. Because this is normally the spot you'd have Justin Verlander or somebody come in and shut things down for you. This time it was Ronel Blanco. And so to me, he was the guy that so far in the series, we'll see what Fromber does tomorrow. We'll see what the bats do tomorrow. But I think Ronel Blanco is just, it's been so important to this team so early and frankly, so unexpected.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was, how can you pick anyone but Ronel Blanco at this point? He's just being that confidence guy where when he gets on the mound, you feel like you're going to have a good game. And he is becoming that for this team, which again, so unexpected, so amazing, absolutely loving it that he is that guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty exciting. So.
And it's great too. Look,
it's awesome.
Not taking anything away. Look, in this, Hunter Brown had a rough outing. JP France did not. JP France outing was exactly what you want from JP France.
Exactly.
You get three runs, five or six innings. If you get that from JP France, that's a good outing, right? Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what you want from him. So to me, but what they needed in this game, especially after coughing up some of these, you know, in the late innings, they really needed somebody to come in and sort of stabilize things. And that's what they got from Blanco tonight. It was very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think that it has been a lot of those late inning issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw it in the Yankees series, you know, obviously Blue Jays end of the game, Hader comes in, gives up the lead. Yep. So we're seeing it all in the late innings. But part of it too, is you still got to get those runs in after the fifth inning.
Well, you know? Yeah. And I mean, you're right. The hitting, you know, look, the Astros from a hitting perspective have typically been kind of a slow starting team.
Yeah.
They're a team that has never been very good in April for whatever reason it is. This year, they have a couple of guys who've been spectacular in April.
Yeah.
Jeremy Pena has been fantastic.
Oh, he's been awesome.
Has been fantastic. Look, Chaz McCormick has been solid as ever. Jake Myers has been fine for what he's doing. So they've gotten guys, and Jose Altuve has been really good. And Yiner is now finally you're starting to see Yordan come around a little bit. But you've got down, you know, Bregman hasn't been good. Jose Abreu has been abysmal. But ultimately, the problem has been, and I always forget to mention Kyle Tucker, which is terrible because Kyle Tucker's been great too.
Because he's Kyle Tucker.
But the weird thing is it's the timely hitting that's been such a problem for them. It's not that they don't get hits. It's that they can't. You haven't seen one of those just stringing hits together, moving guys around the bases kind of inning from the Astros really at all this year. And that's who they've always been. And so eventually some of this is going to balance out, but it's just been a really deflating beginning of the year to watch them offensively.
Yeah. And it's definitely interesting too. I was looking up obviously the stats from last year. And I mean, last year we had a very similar start, 4-6 to start the season. So, I mean,
and we still ended up number 3 in runs scored. Like I think we were 10th in batting average. I mean, I think we're 6th or something in OPS. You know, that's the thing. The Astros, when they get it together, they're really good. But, man, they can be a frustrating team when they're not hitting the ball.
That is 100% true. And it looks like we have another comment from Brian Hill. Thank you so much for watching, Brian. Still celebrating this victory, eating pizza now and listening. Smart show. Thank you so much, Brian. And also, I hope your pizza is amazing. I'm very jealous.
Yeah, I'm full right now, so I'm not interested in pizza, but yeah, I'll be thinking about that later.
Absolutely. And so moving on to some next stuff, we had JV in his first rehab start for Sugarland. Definitely got his 65 pitches in. He was kind of on that pitch count. Had a really good 1-2-3 first inning, gave up some runs, I think 5 runs in the second, which is tough. Throwing 29 pitches there, clean third, but then had runners at second and third and none out in the fourth when he reached his pitch limit. So I think one of the biggest things he said is he doesn't feel like the runs are the most important for this one. He just felt like he came out of it feeling really good physically, hoping he's still feeling good physically tomorrow. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see when we can get him back too.
Well, you also have to consider that for JV, a lot of this is still part of his spring training.
Exactly.
So he threw, I want to say I saw on Twitter somebody posting that he threw something like 40% changeups. So he is obviously working on pitches right now. So he's throwing a lot of pitches that he probably wouldn't throw during a normal game. He didn't throw as many four seam fastballs, although he did in the third inning. He came out and it was like 1-2-3 with a pair of strikeouts. So I think right now with Verlander, he's just trying to get back into the rhythm of pitching. And so that's why he'll have another rehab start. I don't think he's probably going to be back for at least another week. I think it was fine. There was nothing wrong with the runs scored. I mean, it's just not that important. What's important is, just like he said, he's healthy and he can throw, you know, 80, 90 pitches in a game because that's who Justin Verlander is.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just that buildup because, like you said, this is part of his spring training since he was out for so long. So it's a lot of the buildup. It's a lot of working on those pitches, seeing what works, what doesn't work, what's feeling good coming out of his hand. I mean, it's just those little things that I think are going to be super important for him.
It is. And for him, this is part of his spring training. So a lot of this is he is just trying to figure out the shapes of certain pitches, the spin rate on certain things. It's not he's not out there trying to win games. Not at Sugarland. I mean, that's maybe not great for the Space Cowboys, but he's not out there trying to win games. He's out there trying to throw, get his pitches in.
Absolutely. And it looks like we have some comments from Steve Harden. Steve, I'm late to the party. Have you talked about Hader? And another comment, he's pitching from behind. Is he pressing too hard? Let you take this one, Jeff.
Yeah. So I don't think so. I don't think Hader's pressing. I think, you know, look, that first game that he gave up the home run, he threw one bad pitch. I mean, that was basically the deal. He threw one bad pitch and the guy got a hold of it and he hit it out. I mean, things like that are going to happen, right? You don't want them to happen. But look, Hader blew, I think, 6 saves last year, 6 or 7. So it's not like he's immune to something like this. I thought tonight he was good. He got a little flair. Look, by the way, we should mention too, in this, in part of, as part of this, is that the Astros, especially in that Yankee series, their expected batting average was significantly higher than their regular batting average. I think Jordan's expected batting average was like in the 800s, right? But he only had like a couple of hits. And then you look at the Yankees, it was kind of the reverse. Their expected at batting average was below. So I think Hader has fallen victim to a couple of these things. I think tonight what we saw from him was better. He was a little wild around the zone early on. But then when he did make his pitches, you know, there was a little flare, and then he got a sharp grounder to Bregman for a double play to end it. Gave up one hit and a run. I'm not too worried about Hader. When it comes down to my friend, it's so funny. My friend Katya texted me tonight. She's like a huge Astros fan. She's like, worst trade ever. I was like, no, okay, all right. Everybody just calm down. I think Hader's going to be fine. Like, I think Brian Abreu is going to be fine. I think Presley will be fine. I just think that there's been some weird outings early in the season. And when things start weird, they can snowball. You know, players when I talked to Mike Stanton about this on our podcast, you know, Mike will tell you, like, you never, that it's like in Bull Durham, it's like, don't disrespect a streak. You know, don't mess with the streak.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in the opposite direction. Sometimes things just don't go your way, and then it gets in your head.
Exactly.
So I think tonight was good for Hader to get out there and get his first save under his belt, feel comfortable. I think he'll be fine. I'm not worried about Josh Hader.
Yeah, I agree. I'm definitely not, he's not one that makes me nervous or makes me think like, oh, is he going to be able to do his job? I think sometimes too, just settling in with a new team. It's all part of that mental game.
Oh, and believe me, you me, there are guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That I'm concerned about.
Oh, 100%.
It's just Hader's not on that list. Hader's exactly. Not on the short list.
Yeah, and I mean, for him to do it on his 30th birthday to get his first Astros save, like, how about that, you know?
Yeah, pretty solid. I mean, decent
birthday gift to himself.
Yeah, it really was. And I just think with a guy like Hader, he's, you know, it's just it's part of it too. He's never pitched a Globe Life Field before. Mm-hmm. Look, he threw in the National League. He has, you know, this is a little new to him. He's going to have to get adjusted.
Absolutely.
But like he threw some, like there was one, honestly, the kid that got a hit off him, who's like a rookie.
Yeah.
The pitch he threw to him before that was a 98 mile an hour fastball up and in that he just barely fouled off. I mean, he just got lucky. And fouled it off. That was a strikeout pitch, almost probably like if there were metrics for it, that was a strikeout probably like 75% of the time, right? He just got lucky and got a hack on it. And so when you look at these guys, you're like, that stuff is going to balance out over time. And we're going to see more guys that are going to whiff on that than guys that are going to get a foul.
Very true. And speaking of things evening out, one thing Jose Altuve, I know they had a huge article of him talking before the game saying we still have 150 something more games. Yep. And it's so true. I mean, I worked in baseball for 5 years. Well, really 7 years of my life, 2 years in the minors with the Hooks, and then 5 years with the Astros from 2013 to 2018. And, you know, when you work in baseball, you feel how long those seasons are. And it really kind of puts it all into perspective that, hey, man, like there's a lot of games to be played. There's a lot of things that are going to happen. Yeah. And let's start in a slump and then work our way out of it and hopefully be rolling the rest of the season. This team is too good to not hit their stride. They're going to be just fine. And like you said, those things are going to even out. And I feel like during the Yankee series, you saw a lot of those little like bloop hits that we're just all going the Yankees way. Yep. And then you have Yordan, who is flying out with like a foot between an out and a home run. And those things, I mean, like you said, they're going to even out. They're all going to end up kind of getting into a better place. And I mean, I have to believe that we're going to be just fine. But
the, you know, the Astros right now remind me, like, I'm going to go back old school, and they remind me of the 94-95 Houston Rockets, the team that won their second title.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching that series in Orlando when they in the championship series, and Hannah Storm, who's from Houston, who was the sideline reporter covering the Astros at that time for NBC, she was listening in to their huddle towards the end of that game when they were down. They ultimately ended up winning that first game and then sweeping the series. And she said, they were like, what did they say? She said they were calm. They were just like, this is fine. Let's just do whatever. And it's because they had been there before, right? And one of the things that really teams like the Astros, who have been so good for so many years in a row, one of the things they benefit from is they benefit from that knowledge of having been here before. They know what this feels like. They've been in losing streaks. They've been on winning streaks. They've been to titles. They've won them. They've lost them. There's almost nothing they haven't seen at this point.
Exactly.
And that is it has a powerful effect on you as a team. Now, I think also there are times when it can be a negative, because maybe you rest on your laurels a little bit more. Maybe there are times when you're like, it's fine. It's a long season. We'll get to it at some point. But I think the thing what it really does is it really helps to bring into focus just how long and how grueling the season can be and how many ups and downs. Tiger Woods, I always loved one of the things that they would talk about with Tiger Woods is Tiger Woods would play really good golf for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, he would finally come and be like the guy that we all knew, the Tiger Woods that we knew. And what he would do is, instead of worrying about beating the guys in front of them, he would just let those guys come back to him. Right. Because he knew that if he played relatively mistake-free golf, those guys were going to start to come back. They're going to make mistakes, right? They don't have the experience. Many of them just didn't have the talent. And I think that's going to be true for the Astros as well. There are going to be guys that are going to come back to the pack. You saw it with the Mariners last year.
Yeah.
The Mariners were like running away with things early on, playing really well. And then suddenly things just started to fall apart. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, in a long season like these, those are the things that happen. You can't undervalue that sort of experience and that time spent doing it. And the Astros just have all of that.
Absolutely. And Brian Hill has an interesting comment. Maybe we'll do better after the total eclipse.
We probably won't see it. I think it's going to be raining tomorrow, which is kind of a bummer. Welcome to Texas. All those 500,000 people who are in Fredericksburg to see the eclipse, you're going to be sitting there in the rain wondering what happened.
On the plus side, maybe they'll have some wine in hand, so it could still be a good day for them.
That is 100% correct.
It's all about perspective, you know?
Absolutely. 100%.
Oh man, I love it. But hey, let's hope that we do better after that total eclipse. I will not be mad at it. And Brian, with another comment, had the privilege to watch Hank Aaron in the Dome in 1968, age 4. Wow. Your seats are pretty cool.
Yeah, my seats back here, my Dome seats behind me over here. I got those, a buddy of mine has a pair of them. And then he went to when the Astrodome actually had they're sort of like clearance sale or whatever. Yeah. And they sold up all their seats. He went, I was out of town. And then about, I don't know, it was during the pandemic. These seats came up for sale on Facebook Marketplace. They were in Austin and I bought them and my brother-in-law picked them up. And interesting thing about these seats, the feet that are on those seats, which is what allow you to sit on them. Those feet are made by a couple that lives in, I want to say in like Illinois or Indiana.
Yeah.
And they literally make those feet for every baseball, like replica baseball seat that exists. So they have like cornered the market on the feet for baseball chairs, for stadium chairs. But yeah, I love them. And honestly, they're comfortable. Actually pretty damn comfortable.
They are pretty comfy. My dad actually has two as well that I bought him for Father's Day.
Oh, cool.
God, like 10 years ago, I think. And great, we still haven't put the feet on them. So maybe that'll be his Father's Day gift this year. I'll get him the feet for his
seats. And by the way, the feet are easy to put on. It took me like 5 minutes and they were on there. Yeah, I love it. I love having those seats around. I was a kid that grew up watching games in the Dome. I was not quite as early as Brian. I was born after 1968, but I did watch a lot of games in the Dome, and I sat in the bleachers. I've told this story before, but in the summer of 1987, when I was in high school, I went to 3 straight Mets games with my buddies, and the Astros were terrible that year. And in one game we snuck down and sat really close on the first baseline. And we harangued Keith Hernandez for like the entire game. We harassed him for the entire game until a buddy of mine said something. I genuinely cannot remember what he said, but he said it. And finally, Keith Hernandez turned around and looks and goes, "Really?" Like he just like it was like even too much for him at that point. And he's so yeah, the dome holds a lot of fond memories for me for sure.
Oh, that is amazing. Brian said 30 years ago I took my family of 4 to watch the Astros play against the San Francisco Giants with Barry Bonds.
Goodness. Barry, who should be in the Hall of Fame, like all the others.
Absolutely.
Like all the others. Barry Bonds should have been in for his entire career prior to the steroids. He was a Hall of Famer before he got on the juice. So all those guys should be in. To hell with it. Put them all in.
I mean, you know, makes it fun.
I see you, Brian, talking about Dome Dogs. The Dome Dogs were nasty. They were floating in that weird gray water. Don't let anybody kid you. Those things were nasty.
Hey, look, Brian, you can still get pretty cheap parking at games if you park on the street. So,
dude, the best
thing I do that ever, all the time.
The best thing they ever did was move ballparks and the Toyota Center downtown, because after 6, 100%. Parking is free.
Exactly. Yeah, you guys, if you're not on this, first of all, don't forget you can bring in a gallon-sized bag of food to every game. You can bring up to 1 liter bottle of water. It does have to be closed. If it's open, they'll make you throw it away. Person. And street parking is free after 6. So if you get the app, a lot of times I'll pay like 20 cents for parking. So you got to make sure that you are utilizing all of the things that the Astros have to offer if you are balling on a budget and going to games.
Yeah. And honestly too, you can, if you don't mind paying it, you can go, park like nearby and just grab an Uber right to the door.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it is a bargain. Like Astros are one of the more expensive teams. I just got an email the other day from a group trying to get me to write a story about how expensive they're. I think they're in the top 5 in terms of cost for hot dogs and sodas and all that stuff. But there are definitely budget ways to get into Astros games, and the seats are all good.
100%.
Minute Maid is fantastic ballpark.
It is. It is. It was very well built. I think. You know, I worked there in ticket sales. And so if there's any bad seats in the house, the only ones I can really think of are, I think it's 150 and 250 right behind the foul pole. But aside from those sections, there's not a bad seat in the house. I mean, anything you do.
I mean, honestly, the only really negative thing about Minute Maid Park is it's not still called the ballpark at Union Station. It's the only negative that they had to give it naming rights, because then you'd call it the bus. It would be the bus and it'd be the greatest, but you know, I understand. You got to make that money, Jim Crane. Go for it.
Hey, exactly. Hey, Papa Jim is about to pay for a whole complex, a hotel. We're going to have a lot of stuff very soon.
I know, you're right.
You know, the crazy thing is they had been talking about that since 2018 when I left.
Were they?
And then obviously, they had been talking about that. And then they put up the parking lot. And I was like, I thought we were making that like a complex and it was going to be an entertainment district. But they're still getting it done.
That's all going to depend on what happens with 59, though, too.
Very true.
That 45. I will say this, between him and Tillman Fertitta, like very good owners in downtown, like really, really good stewards of Houston, both being from the area and really both done a really great job at that, frankly.
They have. So Steve said foamer nights.
Yeah, dome foam. The dome foam. I was a little young for dome foam, sadly, Steve.
$25 total cost, Brian, with the costume back in the day. We love it.
Oh, yeah. You could get $10 bleacher seats. That was like the key. You got to get $10 bleacher seats. And free. Yeah, you're right. Condo beds could get in free back then.
That is amazing. Tried street parking, have had no luck, probably because you do kind of have to get there early, but bad luck, Brian, it is in your name. So maybe if you change your name to Good Luck Brian, then also, the street parking.
Also, a little secret for that is don't park right by the ballpark.
Yeah.
Like park like 5, 6, 10 blocks away and walk, or park like down by the theater district and hop on the light rail.
Exactly.
And it'll drop you right by Minute Maid Park on its way by. So it's fine.
Yeah. And then I think there are a couple different bars downtown that actually shuttle people to and from. Well,
you can also park at the Grove, which is inside Discovery Green. It's a valet parking and it costs, I don't know what it costs, but if you eat dinner at the Grove, you can park there for free and then you can stay there through the whole game. That's another, there's definitely some secret magic down there if you do it. I've ridden my bike, which is a great way to do
genius.
It. As you just, you know, park somewhere like in Buffalo Bayou Park.
Yeah.
And hop on the bike trails and they take you straight down.
Oh, that's perfect. See, we need to do a whole episode of just tips and tricks. Parking, I mean, I could talk about this all day.
It's so much better than the Astrodome or like the Summit back in the day where it was just like in and out was like an hour.
Oh yeah. No, I live right behind Lakewood, what it's now called. So
and Greenway Plaza.
The traffic on Sundays is brutal. MMP rocks. Absolutely, it Brian. Does. 100%. So for tomorrow, we have the last game of the series, Framber Valdez versus the Rangers. He was just amazing in his last start. Was very sad he didn't get the win on that one because obviously the issues with Hader at the end of the game. But, you know, those games are going to happen. It is what it is. I just hope that he can have another start like he did on Tuesday because he was looking fantastic.
Well, you know, first of all, it's going to be an interesting matchup because it's Valdez and Heaney. So it's lefty on lefty, which is interesting, especially since the Rangers have more lefty power in their lineup than the Astros do. And the Astros' two big lefty bats both hit lefties really well. So it should be an interesting matchup. The thing about Framber, and I heard this, Steve Sparks talked about this. He was on the Astros radio color commentator. He was on with Sean Salisbury on one of the morning radio shows probably last week. And he was talking about Framber and saying that one of the things that happened with Framber in game one is that a lot of his pitches just wound up out of the strike zone. But he said, if you watch them, the movement on his pitches was ridiculous. He said it was like a wiffle ball. And he said, so he said it wasn't that he was pitching poorly. It's just that he was missing the strike zone a little. And he says, as long as he commands the ball a little bit better. And that's been a problem really for the Astros early in the season's walks. They've given up a lot of walks this year. And when you give up a bunch of walks, that's something that's going to happen. So, you know, the key really for Framber is just going to be to keep the ball in the zone. I mean, when he keeps the ball in the strike zone, and frankly, that's pretty good advice for all the Astros starters. But when Framber keeps the ball in the strike zone, he just gets ground ball after ground ball after ground ball. And I think I saw that Jordan's going to start in left field, which he often does when it's Framber on the mound. So you'll probably see Chaz in center and you'll probably see Yiner DHing with Caratini playing so he can switch hit. So right against Heaney and then, you know, go lefty against somebody else. I think Framber is going to be good. I think he's going to be good this season. I have thought from the beginning of the year, even in spring training, that even without Justin Verlander, that their one and two are two of the better ones. And two. I think Christian Javier is going to have a phenomenal season. I really do. I just think he's primed and poised for like a big year. And I think Framber will too. I think the key with Framber is just staying in the zone. Don't walk a lot of guys. His stuff is so ridiculous. He's got so much movement on his breaking pitches this year. If he can just make sure those breaking pitches wind up in the zone instead of out of it, he's going to do great. And frankly, there are going to be times through the season when he's going to miss the strike zone, but he's going to get a lot of swings and misses, or he's going to get a lot of like weak grounders as a result of it. Yankees just weren't biting. But I think he's going to be really good. And I think the Astros do hit lefties pretty well, so I could see them having a good game against Heaney. Well, let's hope so. I mean, the Astros typically hit really well in Globe Life Field.
Yeah.
It's been weird to see them not get a lot of runs there.
That has been something that I noticed as well. I mean, last year, what did we have? The 3-game series where we swept them, and they just outscored the Rangers like crazy. I mean, they were getting hits like nobody's business. And the bats have just been a lot more quiet this series. And you kind of wonder if maybe it's because the Rangers are coming with a lot more intention right now. I mean, it's become a much bigger rivalry, a much bigger series. And I'm sure they're probably like annoyed that half the time it's like a good chunk Astros fans. I mean, today, insane. I mean,
it's ridiculous. I was there last year.
It's Mimic Maid Park North. You know?
It is. As Jeff Blum always calls it, Mimic Maid Park in South Oklahoma. You know, I was at a game last year in Arlington. I'm going to give a shout out to my cousin, Matt Balky, who owns an incredible restaurant in Dallas called Encina. And so my buddy Frank and I went up to Arlington and caught a game and had dinner with my cousin. And conservatively, I would say it was half Astros fans. Really. I'm not exaggerating that. And
really
I'm not trying to put down the Rangers fans. I'm just saying that ballpark was loaded with Astros fans. Loaded.
I mean, the thing is, Astros fans travel very well.
They do.
And when it's only a 3-hour drive north, it makes it a lot easier to
Yeah. And there's a lot of Astros fans that live up there. You know, there's a lot of Astros fans in North Texas and in the surrounding areas. And also, if you're coming up from, say, Austin, it's about a, you know, 2.5-hour drive.
So
I think there are a lot of people in that region who are already Astros fans. And I think there are Astros fans who drive up. And yeah, it's fun. I'm planning to go to the next one up there, which is in early August. I think
that's going to be awesome.
And so I'm planning to go up at least for one or two games at that time. It's just fun atmosphere. Actually, Ranger fans are kind of fun.
They are.
They're good sports pretty generally. I mean, it's Texas and, and it's a nice ballpark. Actually, it's a very pretty ballpark.
Yeah. I like it. It is a little bit, I kind of like think about like Yankee Stadium and kind of Globe Life as well, how you kind of just wish there was a little bit more character to them, you know. I think that's the only thing, but it is Dallas. A very pretty ballpark. It's Dallas, you know.
It's Dallas. Like, I don't know if you've been to Jerry World, but
I
went to a Cowboy game there. It's bizarre. It's like there are chandeliers and it's like a Crystal Palace. It's weird. And I mean, no hate or anything, but I mean, look, Houston, the one of the most notable things about Houston is that we invented the artificial heart. One of the most notable things about Dallas is they invented the breast implant. Case closed. That's all I have to say about Dallas and Houston. Case closed.
Oh my God. I love it. Well, let's take it to our final thoughts. Jeff, I will let you go first. Final thoughts on the Astros, final thoughts on life, whatever you feel like throwing out there today. Why not?
I am looking forward to game 4 tomorrow in this wraparound series. I do think Fromber is going to have a good game. Look, make no mistake. This is going to be a difficult division. The Rangers are very, very good. They, at some point this year, they're going to get Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer back. I don't know how much those guys, especially Scherzer, I don't know how much he has left, but they are going to get those guys back. This is going to be a competitive race between these teams. So if you get out of Arlington with a split, I mean, I think that's a really good thing for the Astros. It's a tough road to hoe coming up here. I mean, they've got the Braves and they've got the Rangers again. I think the Orioles are coming up soon. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be an easy month for the Astros right out of the gate. But the thing is, the Astros are typically not a great team in April anyway. So if you look at it and you say, listen, they're playing a lot of good teams in a month where they typically start slow, you know, I think that's part of that's just kind of part of it. And so especially normal sports fans, they're not used to being patient, you know, like especially in Texas. I mean, we are a football state, right? So everybody's like, every game is like the most important game that's ever happened. Cause there's, you know, in pro football, there's only 17 of them. So it's like, if you lose one, I mean, it's a huge deal. Baseball, I mean, you could drop 15 and it's just a kind of a drop in the bucket. It's 10% of the season. So I'm not worried about the Astros turning it around. I do think that them performing well over the course of the next few weeks is more important than how many wins they string together. I think right now they need to hit the ball better. They need to be, I mean, I hate to say be better at pitching because they've been really kind of phenomenal in their starters, but they need to be more solid, you know, one through nine innings with all of their guys. And I think if they can just do that and perform well, even if they're not racking up boatloads of wins, it's fine, you know, and just, oh, and by the way, keep everybody healthy because
100%.
Injuries are the great equalizer in all of sports. Mm-hmm. They always are, you know, even in baseball and this year with all of the pitchers already going down.
I mean,
Strider dropped. I forget who the guy was the other day. I mean, it's an epidemic. I mean, in fact, that's what Justin Verlander was calling it. He was interviewed after their game in Sugarland. They asked him about it. He said, it's like, you know, it's an epidemic.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And so you just got to keep guys healthy. Because the main thing you want is for the Astros to be healthy and playing well in September. That's the biggest deal. Make sure that happens and then the rest of it will fall in place.
Absolutely. We do have a couple more comments from Brian Hill. Dude, are you on Twitter? X, what is your name on it? Jeff, make sure you give people your name on Twitter so they can all follow.
So you can follow me at Jeff Balke. It's a very hard thing to remember. It's just my name, J-E-F-F-E-A-L-K-E. You can also follow the podcast that I'm on, Believe in Astros. It's at B-L-E-A-V in Astros. And obviously Mike Stanton is my co-host. So you can follow him at Mike Stanton 29. We do our podcast typically twice a week, usually one earlier in the week and then one, a shorter one towards the end before the weekend. I've been doing this podcast now for almost 2 years. I did it with Jeff Blum last year. And then he begged off because Blummer is the most busy man in sports. And then I've got Mike, who's excellent. I love working with Mike, and the Believe Network is a really great bunch of people who are very supportive of all their podcasters. And then of course I write regularly for the Houston Press, and you can find my stuff on there. And then on Mondays I am on Houston Matters on KUHF 88.7 FM here in Houston. So you can hear me on there as well doing sports.
We love to hear it. And JV cancels him out. I think that was in talking about some of the guys that the Rangers are going to get back, which...
Man, yeah, you're crazy. Right. Well, JV, and I mean, honestly, here's the thing that was so crazy is when you think about Luis Garcia, that guy was crushing last year before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's young, like Garcia, I think he's 25. So that's a guy that I don't know what you're going to consider to get out of Lance McCullers. I mean, he's been healthy one season in his entire career. So who knows what you're going to get out of LMC, but Luis Garcia is going to, I think he'll come back and pitch well. I do.
Yeah. I think it's going to be amazing. And my final thoughts, definitely excited to see what Fromber brings to the table tomorrow, hoping for a really great outing from him. And like you said, if we even come home with a split, that's a good day in my book, against a very tough Rangers team. I think a lot of people don't want to take the Rangers serious, but you have to. No. You don't win the World Series on luck, you know? So they are 100%. A very good team with the majority of their team that came back this season. So it's going to be a really fun race to the finish, and I'm excited to see kind of how it all plays out. And then, again, you guys, do not forget to send in your player of the series to AstrosBaseballPodcast@gmail.com for your chance to win a shirt from Ram Shirts. We will pick that winner at the end of the month, so make sure you're sending that in. And thank you guys so much. Thank you to Jeff for hopping on with me today. Thank you for coming in, hanging out. It was awesome to get to chat baseball with you. Hopefully we get to do it again soon. Yeah. And to everyone out there who watched today, thank you so much. And we will see you on the next one, guys. Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.